This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
In a visit that was probably destined to create controversy, Miles Groff, an educator and activist in the men's rights movement, came to the University of Toronto on September 27, 2013, to speak on the topic of why we need men's centers in a time of crisis. The fact is, fewer and fewer men are attending university. The controversy comes with the discussion of why that is happening. Other advocates say that men's centers on campuses are needed. They also say that programs designed to support men in other communities are just as important. We're joined on the phone by Grant Waldman, Executive Director of West Coast Men's Support Society.
Welcome to People First Radio, Grant.
Thanks, Kevin.
Or maybe I should say welcome back to People First Radio.
Yes.
We spoke with, I just want to comment or talk with you a little bit about our previous segment. We spoke with poet Jeremy Loveday just before we called you up about his spoken word video, Masks Off, A Challenge to Men. And I know that you've seen that video. It's
Yep.
a challenge to men to end sexual violence against women. What are your thoughts about Jeremy's call to action?
Well, first of all, I think it's great that Jeremy did the piece that he did and put it out there on the airwaves. I think it's important to bring, you know, more and more awareness around that, and it's great for men to for a man like Jeremy to put that out there. It certainly is an issue. It's certainly something that needs to be spoken about more, and the big piece for me around that is that it's a call. It's a call out to men to kind of step up and take responsibility and to look at this issue around sexual violence against against gender in general and to let's take responsibility and let's be held accountable and let's deal with this. Let's have a conversation.
Now, Jeremy Loveday's poem was written in the spring of 2013, but it appeared online for the first time after the very high-profile news stories about pro-rape chants being heard on at least two post-secondary campuses in Canada. What are your views, Grant, on what has been described as quote-unquote rape culture?
Well, my views certainly aren't... aren't positive around even the concept. I mean, having the word rape connected with the word culture to me is, it's certainly a pretty shadowy concept that in my judgment needs to be removed from our culture in general. I mean, it's a pretty sad situation having this come up on university campuses. It totally slaps the face of what the women's movement and many organizations in our communities are trying to accomplish around ending violence against women and any violence in general. And so I think the whole concept of rape culture is something that has no place in our society and needs to, to me it should be an illegal concept. It needs to be removed and the whole concept of sexual objectification and victim blaming, trivialization of rape. I mean, it's just has no place and my particular stance is that we need to move towards compassion, we need to move towards respect, and we need to move towards, putting these types of terms, out of our consciousness totally.
Let's step back a little bit and look again at Miles Groth, and that's how we opened this segment, with a brief description of Miles Groth and his visit to Canada. He's an educator and activist in the men's rights movement. He came to the University of Toronto on September 27th, 2013, to speak on the topic of why we need men's centers in a time of crisis. Now, Grant, this visit generated controversy. According to the media, the speech was very nearly canceled after the university imposed a high security fee of $964 to pay for campus police in anticipation of student protests. Now, why does the men's movement, and in this case, a call for men's centers at universities, create such controversy?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to what happened at Simon Fraser when discussions began around putting in place a men's center there, and it's still it's still up in the air. Nothing's been formalized at this point, what I see as being the key issue around that and around the protests that happened in Toronto are people associating the opening of a men's center with with the rise of patriarchy, with a men's center, a men's movement representing patriarchy, versus looking at it from a different viewpoint of it supporting men on campus and the whole concept of an organization like mine supporting men's emotional health. The way I see it is I see a culture that's out of balance, that where there's a lot of support systems in place for women's emotional health, but little to none for men, and therefore it's out of whack, and things aren't going to get any better if men aren't helped in an emotional way.
So then let's turn to the calls for men's centers. Now, of course, we've been talking about university campuses for the last little while. What about calls for funding for men's centers off campuses in communities? Mm-hmm. Tell us more about why men's centers are needed.
Well, just like I was saying, men's centers like ours and the men's center up in Nanaimo, and there were few and far between. And again, I think that it's a shift that needs to happen in order for us to balance the equation as a society. If we're only supporting women's emotional health or women and children's emotional health and not supporting men's emotional health, then it's out of whack, and the side of the equation that we are helping is going to need more and more help because we're not supporting men. So in order for there to be a balanced solution in society, we need to help. We need to help both, all genders. And until that happens, the need for help, with women's organizations is going to continue to be there and continue to probably require more funding because we're not helping men who are acting out because they have no means of to go somewhere to be supported in a good way. They have no one to listen to them in a good way, and to be able to vent in a healthy way, and to get to the bottom of what men are dealing with in order for them to move forward in a more healthy, grounded and compassionate way with themselves.
A fellow named Michael Bolan wrote an article at the Huffington Post, Canada, and I just want to share, he went to the presentation, by the way, of Dr. Miles Groth because he was curious. He was wanting to see this for himself. But I just want to quote a couple of short paragraphs from his post. He writes, "Too often the pressure for men to keep feelings locked away and to not ask for help leads to disaster. The lack of sympathy for men in distress surely doesn't help. The suicide rate for men in Canada is 3 times higher than for women, according to Statistics Canada, and single and divorced men are much more likely to kill themselves than married men. Suicide rates are particularly high among divorced people aged 40 to 59 years old. Suicide really is a men's issue, as is the collapse in male university enrollment." Mm-hmm. What have you found in the services that you're offering there?
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with those comments that my thought is that there's a lot of walking time bombs out there, a lot of men who have been raised to put up a wall to just work through their issues physically, to do it on their own, to not seek out help, and therefore that's where a lot of male rage comes from, because they're lost. They're feeling hopeless, and that's where suicide comes from. And so these men need to have a place to go or to feel that they're not alone and that they can be helped. As far as I'm concerned, and we just completed a study that will be published in our website shortly, where we've gone out into the province of British Columbia and connected with other organizations that are working with families in their communities. And, you know, the majority of them have said, yes, there is a definite need to support men, and the funding's not there. So the need is out there, and it's something that needs to be addressed sooner than later, so that our society can be more stable, so that men can be helped.
What kinds of programs do you offer?
Yeah, we offer our core programs that we've offered. We've been around now for over 4 years, and our core programs have been we have a men's circle that meets on a weekly basis. It's a general circle of men where men can gather and feel supported. They share openly. It's a place where confidentiality is very sacred. It's all about inviting men to take responsibility for their lives, to live a life of in accountability with themselves and others, to be in integrity. We have a group called Dads Make a Difference, which is offered to fathers, dads, to offer them support around how to be a good father, offers men's support around dealing with domestic issues, communication skills, dealing with custody issues. And we also have a program called Fire and Bones, which is a youth mentoring program that we offer in the school system. We've had great success with that here locally in the past year, and we're expanding into local high school. It's a safe place for young men to come and feel supported, be able to talk about what's going on in their lives. And, you know, we bring topics such as bullying or relationships, communication, dealing with internet porn. I mean, all sorts of different topics, and how are these young men dealing with these issues in their lives? And the youth mentoring ends each season, each school year, with a rite of passage weekend where we invite the young men to go deeper. And so we spend a weekend with them and take them through various processes. And then there's a big celebration. So it's really honoring and blessing these young men. And that's a big piece for men in general, is around, you know, how many men are walking out there who don't feel blessed, who don't feel seen in their lives. And so that's a big piece of the youth mentoring, and even of our men's circle, is to really, for men to be seen, to be blessed. And one another word that comes up a lot in our work is trust, that men haven't been raised to feel that they can trust other people because of how they've been treated, how they've been raised. So trust is another big issue when it comes to men and how they are in the world. And we've just introduced a program called Healthy Men, where we want to bring awareness to men around how men need to take care of themselves, take better care of themselves, that they're worth taking care of. And so we're trying to bring more awareness to our community and the general community around men taking responsibility for their health and well-being, that they need to go and have regular checkups, that they need to be more responsible around their fitness and their diet and so on. So yeah, it's all about building awareness. I mean, that's what I love about Jeremy Loveday's piece on YouTube that he did. It's just about raising the bar and about raising awareness about, you know, it's kind of like the wake up, you know, let's beat the drum and wake men up from their sleep, that you know, take notice, take responsibility, and care about yourself.
Grant Waldman, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you, Kevin.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Grant Waldman is Executive Director of West Coast Men's Support Society. You can find them online at westcoastmen.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.